You're listening to Let's Hear It. That was the Birdseed Salesman with their tune, Two Cigarettes in the Dark.
Well, it's actually not our tune. It's by, it says L. Polak here on the, I don't know who L. Polak is, but so it's not our tune.
The Rendition, rather. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Jay, I think I'll start with you. The Birdseed Salesman, we were talking earlier that this iteration is just part of many different groups you're in. And we joked actually that, or you were joking earlier, that this could be a collective of sorts, given that you're playing with lots of different people. Maybe if you can talk about how this group came to be and how that got started.
Sure. Well, Nathan and I met, what, about 5 years ago now? And I had been wandering around Kalamazoo for decades, it seems, looking for somebody who knew how to solo like Django Reinhardt, and he said he could do it. And so we started playing together, and then over the last, I guess, about 4 to 5 years now, we've been doing this and have had a variety of kind of a Rolodex of friends that we've been calling on. And then 2 years ago or so, we met Helen playing violin. And really over the last couple of years, it's been this trio with a Rolodex of friends, a small Rolodex of friends who've been, you know, popping in and sitting in with us or filling in when one of us can't make a gig. So yeah, this, I would say this is the core, but we also, you know, love doing these songs with bass and with trombone and, you know, and clarinet added in. And so,
as far as the style of music is concerned, just would you call it gypsy, jazz, or folk music from?
Well, there's a lot of different names that people give to this. I mean, gypsy jazz, that's probably the most popular. You know, problematic term, gypsy aside, yeah. Jazz manouche is another term that people use, or Django music or Django's music I've heard people use as well. But yeah, we usually say, or it's string band kind of music. I mean, that's also part of it. But
or maybe hot club?
Hot club, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Jay, were you just playing this music by yourself? Are you a big fan of this? And what made you want to expand to a trio or a larger group playing this style of music?
I just am always trying to find people who know what they're doing, and I tag along.
You found them yet?
Yeah.
You don't have to answer that.
Well, I'll answer by saying that I'm the least musically educated of the group. Just to describe what we're doing, we look at a chart. There's a Django fake book, is that what it's called? There's a series of books that we kind of thumb through that give the melody and then sort of the chord progression above. And if you listen to what we're doing, what I'm doing is basically playing like the pump, it's called, which is the chords. And it took me a long time to even be able to to do that, and I'm starting to get more comfortable with it. But you know, being someone who can't really sight read and who, you know, didn't study this in the same way, it's just been something that's been I've wanted to do for a long time, and this gives me the opportunity to do that, to sort of jump in on any song that gets pulled up, you know, can try to do. But I'll let maybe Helen can speak more to like what she's doing when we're playing these.
I am trying my best to emulate some of the influences from Stefan Grappelli and other players in that ilk. I can't say I'm anywhere close to it, but I did study improvisation and jazz back in New York, and I wasn't playing in this style, more, you know, straight ahead jazz. But this setting just gives me a lot of opportunity to be violinistic, you know, because when you're studying jazz, it's very horn-based. So that's been super fun. And I just love the sound of violin together with guitar. I have always felt like violin plus guitar sounds great together.
Yeah. So in this setting, I feel like each of you have a specific role, but sometimes you venture out of that, at least in what I've heard. So sometimes you're clearly the soloist, and other times you're comping or providing kind of a background fabric. I think in straight ahead jazz in particular, you're certainly, as a violinist, I would imagine you don't have that role a lot. What is it? Do you have more freedom in this setting? Is that something that attracts you to that?
Yeah, definitely. And like one of the challenges that I find really fun also is playing to the changes and also trying to comp, you know, playing things that work with the chord changes and supporting from a rhythm section in a way point of view, which is not a typical role for violin.
Speaking of different roles, Nathan, if you could describe your role and sometimes how you may go outside of that in terms of comping, or I guess in this style of music, what is your role? Because you're playing an archtop guitar, is that correct?
Yeah, it is. It does have a little bit of an arch on it. It's got I can't remember what the French term for it is, though, but it's got a pleat on it, a fold. So they actually put the wood on a piece of iron, and they shape it that way. So even though, you know, for the guitar geeks out there, you know, it might look like a flat top, but it does have a bit of an arch to it because they actually bend the wood instead of carving it like we would, like Jay's guitar, for instance, has a carved top. So instead of carving the top, they actually shape it with heat. But when we started out, it was just a duo, and I was playing the melody, and so it's really nice to have a violin player with some sustain and some real, you know, body to the notes take over there. But sometimes I'll play the melody, I guess I have the kind of Django role, and I'm doing the best that I can to kind of play, you know, his style, and I don't have the speed or the lyricism that he has, but you know, there's something really playful and humorous about Django Reinhardt's playing, and it was very infectious for a lot of guitar players in the 40s and well into the 50s. Guitar players outside of the jazz tradition, guitar players in the early country music tradition. And I think it's fun to try and capture that humor and that and the jokes that one can do with this style of music that I won't say that straight ahead jazz doesn't have that, because there's certainly a lot of joking and commentary and things that comes through there. But yeah, with kind of the string band situation, this kind of string band setting that we have, I think it lends itself more to that levity.
It's noticeable in your playing. There's a light playfulness, I guess, is how I might describe it. And, even when you're warming up earlier, everyone's just smiling and having fun. It's great to see. Maybe Jay, if you could talk about just your role in this band as far as harmonically what you're doing, or maybe solistically, how do you approach your role in this group?
excuse me. I'd say my role is keeping the train rolling down the tracks.
Driving the bus.
Keep it on the tracks. keep it moving.
Yeah, as much as I can. And usually by the end of, if we play a 2 or 3 hour gig, my arm is barking, my right arm. Especially if we tend to go from a fast tune, and then usually after that, they could see the look in my eyes that says, let's do a ballad, because I need to slow down, because you're on a fast tune, and it's chunk, 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 chunk. That pump has to be there. And especially when we play without a bassist, I'm kind of, you know, also, I think, filling that role a little bit. Yeah, and also, like, I feel like I have to be driving that train so that Nathan can do the humor of the traveling
birdseed salesman,
which you'll hear, like, and Django used to do this too. He would, you know, he'd have two guitarists playing the pump and a bass player, and he would be playing all these little runs and flurries and flourishes that happened even when he wasn't playing a solo. Just like if Stefan was soloing, you know, if you listen to the background, he's just kind of
commenting
on what Stefan says. So yeah, my role is really to allow these two or whoever else is sitting in with us to be able to talk and make
joke
around. But also to, you know, a lot of these songs have such beautiful melodies, just having, you know, the melody in there. And then sometimes I don't know if we're doing it next, but one of the songs we're going to play has this, you know, like kind of back and forth that happens just in the melody. That's really lovely and playful. So
is there a canon or like, you mentioned like the Django fake book. So this music, most of it comes from Django Reinhardt.
I think our historian can take that one.
Oh, we have a historian. Oh, perfect.
Well, I'm not a historian of jazz per se, but from what I know of this music, you know, the Roma in Europe, you know, there are, it's a confluence of different traditions from what I understand. You know, there is a repertoire of, I guess, you know, in American parlance, we might say fiddle tunes and things that people would know. And with the influx of kind of American popular culture around the world and in Europe in particular, you know, exposure to Broadway tunes, to, you know, kind of, you know, what we call, I guess, kind of American songbook now, you know, that got looped in with this gypsy tradition, with the Roma tradition. And, you know, there's people that can speak to this far more eloquently than I can, but there is kind of a, I mean, if we want to call it kind of a folk tradition, that brings in these kind of gypsy standards and things where people are emulating the melodies that we associate with Django and the licks and solos and things that we associate with Django. But it's you know, it is also too a popular tradition. You know, these songs would have been on the radio. These songs would have been you know, widely consumed in Europe and in North America. So I think it's it's also a popular tradition too. And, you know, in terms of the kind of boundary between jazz manouche and straight ahead jazz, I mean, I don't think that boundary is always very clear too. Yeah, when you look at the songs and things that people are doing, you know, they influence each other. I think your gypsy jazz players will be, you know, will have a wider repertoire. And I think for some straight ahead jazz players, like maybe some of the gypsy tunes may seem kind of novel, like Nuage, for instance. You know, that's something that is, I think, gaining a little bit more, you know, people are noticing that one a bit more. You know, like this one we just played, Two Cigarettes in the Dark. I mean, that's not necessarily part of the kind of American jazz repertoire at all that I can think of.
No, right. To me, a lot of the gypsy jazz tunes have a very Frenchy feel, mm-hmm. you know, and I think from that era, sort of French popular song, like there's an American songbook, but there's also a French songbook in a way.
What characterizes the style of music? Is it the instruments, or is it just the tunes themselves?
Well, it's what Jay's doing. It's that pump sound. I mean, that's the... I mean, that's the heart of it. I mean, those driving quarter notes and
and the kind of dryness and of the, you know, it's called the pump because you're moving your hand on each quarter note, you know, like the American swing version, you might be alternating, and the accent might be different. And there's certainly a lot of debate in or among, you know, jazz manouche players about, you know, how do you do the pump? Are you putting an eighth note in there every once in a while? Are you doing an upstroke here and there, or maybe everyone? There's a lot of debate on it, but I think it depends on who you talk to. I mean, in terms of kind of the stylistic parameters, I think that you're getting at, because it's kind of a subculture now, and I'm not necessarily part of that. I mean, we're all kind of novices with this music. I mean, if you look at, you know, other people who have been playing it for years and are you know, heavily invested in this. Because it's fun and it's lighthearted music, I think our approach is to have a bit more flexibility with it because, you know, we're not initiates into this music per se. And I think at the time too, you know, if you listen to recordings, you know, there is a lot of flexibility. I mean, people talk about like late Django music where he was using an amplified guitar. He had an amplifier and a pickup on it. Oh. And so it sounds very, it sounds like his guitar sounds like a Telecaster or something because it's through an electric amplifier.
It's really interesting. Yeah. I'd love to hear another tune actually. You mentioned Nuage. Is that next on the
We can play Nuage.
I mean, you don't have to.
Making requests. Thank you.
spirit. We're in the W